About the account of the Exodus from Egypt. And how they left Egypt is how we leave the world. How they were baptized is the way we are to be baptized. The Bible says they all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. Spiritual food. What food did the Israelites eat in the wilderness? Anything else? Quail.
Aloro.
Correct.
Kakare.
Let's read from Numbers chapter 11. Verses 4 to 10 initially. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires. The sons of Israel wept again. Said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we used to eat free in Egypt. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna. The people despise the manna. The people would go about and gather it and grind it between two millstones. Beat it in the mortar. Boil it in the pot. Make cakes with it. And its taste was the taste of the cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell on the camp, at night the manna would fall with it. Now Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. Then in verse 18, God said, say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, oh, that someone would give us meat. For we were well off in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat. And you shall eat. Not one day, not 2 days. Not 5 days, not 10 days. Nor 20 days, but for a whole month. Till it comes out of your mouth and becomes loathsome to you. Because you have rejected the Lord who is among you. And have wept before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat. So they will eat for a whole month. Should flocks and herds be slaughtered for them? Should all the fish of the sea be gathered together to be sufficient for them? How can you feed so many people with meat? The Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand too short? Now you shall see whether my word will befall you or not. Amen. Verse 31. There went forth a wind from the Lord. Remember these details, I'll ask you later. There went a wind from the Lord. And it brought quail from the sea. And they fell beside the camp. About a day's journey this side and a day's journey that side. Covered the surface of the ground. The people spent all that day and all night and all the next day. Gathering the quail. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before they even managed to chew it, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord struck the people with a very severe plague. So the name of that place was called Kibroth Hattav. Because there they buried the people who had been greedy. Amen.
Amen.
Let's also read from Psalm 78. It gives the same account. From verse 17 until 31. They continued to sin against him. To rebel against the Most High. In their hearts they put God to the test. By asking for food according to their desire. According to their desire, not according to God's commands. They spoke against God. Said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? He struck the rock so the waters gushed out. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? The Lord heard and was full of wrath. A fire was kindled in Jacob. Because they did not believe in God. They did not trust in his salvation. Yet he commanded the clouds above. He opened the doors of heaven. He rained manna down upon them to eat. He gave the food from heaven. Men did eat the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens. And by his power he directed the south wind. He rained meat upon them like the dust. He let them fall in the midst of the camp. So they ate and were well filled. And their desire he gave to them. But before they could satisfy their desire, while the food was still in their mouths, the anger of God rose up against them and killed some of their stoutest ones and subdued the choice men of Israel. Amen. The Bible says the children of Israel ate spiritual food. The manna and the quail were physical entities. But what they ate, how they ate, and why they ate are spiritual lessons to teach us today. The manna and the quail. God commanded them to eat the manna. He gave them the manna for free. The manna was the living bread that came down from heaven. What does the manna represent in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
John chapter 6.
John chapter
verses 48 to 51. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. And they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven. So that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from out of heaven. If anyone eats of me, this bread, he will live forever. The bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. So if Jesus is our true manna, how do we feed upon him today? Do we take a bite out of his arm? Is this how we feed upon Jesus today? How do we feed upon Jesus today? Amen. Jesus is the Word that was made flesh. He is the Word of God. And when you feed upon His words, not just read His words, but feed upon His words, you are feeding upon the manna from heaven. When you read the Bible, are you just reading information in a book? Or are you feeding upon Christ, the living bread? In John chapter 5,
John Chorabich,
verses 39 to 40, Jesus was speaking to the leaders, the elders of Israel. And he said, you search the scriptures, because you think in them you have eternal life. It is these scriptures that testify about me. But you are unwilling to come to me. The bread of life was standing right in front of them. He who fulfilled the scriptures from the Old Testament. And they spent so much time reading the Bible. They could quote so many scriptures. But they did not ever experience Christ in His Word. They never learned to feed on Jesus, who is the living bread. Amen.
Amen.
There are many in the church today who know much of the Bible. They can quote the scriptures, impress you with their spiritual knowledge, but they have never actually fed on Christ, who is the living bread. Amen.
Amen.
The manna is the spiritual portion of the Word. That we receive when we get the revelation of Jesus Christ from His words. When you suddenly understand that Jesus is that living bread, He was the manna. Then everything about that manna that fell in the wilderness was a lesson to point us to Christ today. When your spirit grasps that, you are feeding upon the manna. Amen. Many people know that technically speaking in their mind, but they have yet to receive it by the Spirit. This is the manna. It is the spiritual bread. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have given you are Spirit and they are life. When you read the Word of God, do you feel you are reading a spiritual book? Are you just reading information, a history account? Or are you reading spiritual words that feed your very soul? We're supposed to eat the Word of God. Feed upon the manna in the wilderness. This will make us strong for the journey. Give us the energy we need to make it through the wilderness. And Isaiah 55 and verse 2. The prophet says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Listen carefully to me and eat. How do you eat? By listening carefully to the Word of God. When you read the Word of God, do you listen carefully to what it says? Many people, when they read the Word of God, do not listen carefully to what it says.
Okay.
I'm ready. I read a chapter of the Bible. Did they feed on the manna? Or did they just read some information in a page? Do you listen carefully to the Word when you read it? When you read the Bible, do you take your time over reading it? Asking the Holy Spirit to show you, reveal to you what the passage is meaning. This is listening carefully to the Word of God. This is how you will feed upon the Word. Do all who listen to the Word of God actually feed on the Word? No. In Luke 8 verse 18, Jesus said, so take care how you listen. How do you listen to the Word? Does it go in one ear and out the other? If I ask you questions later, will you have been listening? Jesus said, let these words that I speak to you enter into your ears and sink down. Are you allowing the Word to penetrate your ears and sink into your soul? Are you spiritually hungry to receive the living bread? In Matthew 5 verse 6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you don't hunger and thirst for it, will you be filled? No. Are you hungry for the Word of God this day? Yes?
Yeah.
Amen. I hope that's the reason you've come today. Because you are hungry for the manna, the living bread from heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 2, he says, like newborn babies, crave the pure milk of the word, we have 5 children. When our children were young babies, they used to cry when they were hungry. If a baby is hungry, does it just stay silent? Ask some of the mothers. When a baby is hungry, will it just be quiet? No. What will it do? Give me milk. What if you just say, oh, just be quiet. I'll deal with you later. Does the baby say, okay, I'll be quiet? He cries more and more. Amen.
Amen.
The Apostle Peter says, this is how you should be with the Word of God. As the baby desires that milk, so you should desire the living Word. Amen.
Amen.
And how do you listen to the Word? Many people's gospel is framed by what they hear from their pastor or their bishop. Their gospel is what they have been told the gospel is. They've never gone themselves to get into the word themselves and find out what the gospel actually says. And just because their pastor says it or their bishop says something, they just accept that that is what the gospel is. In the book of Acts, God said, I think it's the 17th chapter, I'm not sure.
16-17.
It said that the people of Berea were more noble than those of Thessaloniki. Because they took what the Apostle Paul said. And they tested what it said according to the scriptures. To see what he said, whether it was true or not. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says test everything. Hold on to the good. Just because I am preaching to you today and telling you what the Word of God says does not necessarily mean I am speaking the truth. You are supposed to listen to what I say. Go home and get your Bible out. Start reading in the Word. Does what this white man say add up with what the Scripture says? Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says God is your teacher. I am not your teacher. I am only a vessel that God is using to teach you His teaching. Just because I say something does not mean it is the gospel. Anything you hear from the pulpit, you need to test by the scriptures. And if it does not add up with what the scripture says, it is to be rejected. Amen.
Amen.
A long time ago, God told me to start testing everything I ever heard with the scripture.
And
if I came across something in the Bible that did not agree with what I've been previously taught, I was to reject what I had previously been taught and let the Word of God take me where He wants to take me. You can either follow the pillar of cloud in the wilderness where the Word of God takes you, or you can follow the word of a man, but the word of a man will lead you back to Egypt. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes when the word starts to lead you, it will take you to places where you become in conflict with other people. At one time I was an elder in a church, and I was not sure what the pastor was preaching was the truth, but it sounded very convincing when I was listening. But then I would go home and I would read the Bible, and it would say something different. So I had a choice. What do I do? Do I follow the word of a man? Or do I follow the word of God? The pillar of fire in the wilderness. I chose to follow the pillar of fire. And I wrote down many things. And I took it to my pastor. Said, "Pastor, I think you're preaching a wrong gospel. I think this is not right, and this is not right, and this is why." This is what an elder is supposed to do. The elders are in the church to help guide the spiritual direction of that church. God does not have churches with just one man in control of everything. In the Bible, the churches were run by elders. So if one man started going wrong, the others could pull him back. The problem today is we have the pastor-centric model of church. Where one man has the control over everything, and he sees it as his church. It's his business. And if you try and tell him anything, he'll shut you down. I went to this pastor. I said, "You are teaching a wrong gospel." I was humble. I was not arrogant when I spoke with him. I said, "It is my duty as an elder to bring this to you. I must fulfill my obligation as an elder. You are not preaching the gospel in these areas." Do you think he was happy with me? No. He wanted to kill me.
No,
no. They said, "You're touching the Lord's anointed." I said, "Touching the Lord's anointed means I'm trying to kill you." The King David would not touch Saul as to kill him. This was touching the Lord's anointed. But that did not stop David from rebuking Saul in front of all of his army. Rebuking someone who is teaching wrong doctrine is not touching the Lord's anointed.
Amen.
If someone is going astray in the truth, we who are spiritual should restore them. And it is the duty of spiritual men to say something. If we say nothing, we become complicit in the doctrine of false doctrine. This man said, "I must leave the church immediately." He had me escorted off the premises. He told everybody not to ring me, not to contact me. Had a special meeting called in the church. Saying, "We must watch out for Alex. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Don't contact him." He came into this church to try to make his own church. Don't contact him. They tried to blacken my name. Because this is what the false shepherds will do. So I was there. Thrown out of the church. You can imagine I felt annoyed and angry. I had the membership list of all the people in the church. I could have rung every person up in the church. Told them the truth about what this pastor was saying, these lies he was saying. But I felt the Lord say, "Do not do it. Do not strike back. I, the Lord, am your avenger." And for 3 years I waited in silence. This pastor only seemed to get better and stronger. But during that time, I learned to forgive him and to lay it down. And at the end of 3 years, all his elders who stood with him against me left him. His wife left him, went off with another man. Most of his children left him. And God judged him. I did not raise my hand, or God judged him. Amen.
Amen.
But I would not be here today if I had not been through that experience. When you start to take the Word of God seriously, and let the Word of God take you to the places where you didn't expect to go, you may come into conflict with those who wish not to follow such a path. But if you trust in the Lord, though your enemies may seem to succeed against you, in the end he will redeem his servants. And the man of God will stand and the false prophet will fall. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in John 14, verse 26, the helper, the Holy Spirit, when the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance everything I have said to you. How do we receive the living bread? By allowing the Holy Spirit to anoint our Bible study. Do you read the Bible as an information booklet? Many people go to colleges or seminaries to learn about the Bible. And after 3-4 years they come out with lots of head knowledge. But nothing in their heart. Because they have yet to learn how to listen to the voice of the Spirit. They've been in classrooms being taught head knowledge. But they have never yet tasted the manna. Amen.
Amen.
Everything I am teaching you today, I did not learn from a university or a seminary. I learned it by the Holy Spirit anointing my Bible reading. And revealing the scriptures to me personally. For what he did for me, he can do for you also. Amen.
Amen.
You may not have opportunity to go to a Bible college. But don't let that worry you. Go to the school of the Spirit. And get serious about studying the Word of God. It can be useful to get a professional education in the Word. But it's far more important to receive the manna from the Word. And receive the spiritual understanding of the Word. The Apostle Paul said, the gospel I preached among you, I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it as a revelation of Jesus Christ. A revelation of Jesus as the Christ of the Old Testament. That he was the manna that fell in the wilderness. He was the rock that was struck in the wilderness. He was the angel of the Lord that dwelt amongst the clouds. A revelation of Jesus as the Christ. How Jesus fulfills the types and the shadows of the Christ from the Old Testament. Christ is not Jesus' family name, it is his title. The Christ was the promised one of the Old Testament. Jesus became the Christ when he fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. And it is through understanding that he is the Christ of the Old Testament. We receive the gospel. We understand the truth of God's word. Man shall not live on bread alone. But on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, have you learned to feed upon the testimony of Christ? The manna is the testimony of Christ, both hidden and revealed in the Word of God. We call it the mystery of Christ, which was hidden for generations, but has now been revealed through His holy prophets and apostles. Are you feeding upon Christ as you read the Word? Or are you feeding upon just the empty pages of a book? The manna came fresh every morning and had to be eaten fresh every morning. The Israelites did not have to hunt or forage or gather to trade to get it. It was the gift of God that came free every morning. Amen. Every morning He would give the living bread. It's important every morning to be in God's Word. Before you go out to work, before you do anything, it is important to be in the Word. It sets you up spiritually for the day. The manna came every morning. It didn't come in the evening, it came in the morning. To teach you that you need to start your day with the Word of God. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to say, give us each day our daily bread. Amen.
Amen.
They had to receive it fresh every day. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. The Lord connects gathering the manna daily with keeping His law. What is the law we are under today? Amen. The law of the Spirit, which is the law of Christ, which is the law of love. If we say we love God, how can we not read His Word? If we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, why do we not read His Word every day? If you love someone, you listen to them. Amen.
Amen.
We keep the law by abiding in His Word every day. Because it is an act of love towards God to listen to what He says. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Amen.
Amen.
In John chapter
8,
verses 31 and 32, Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. What if you don't continue in His word? Can you claim to be a true disciple of Jesus? If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Many people think they know the truth because they have lots of Bible knowledge in their head. But it is really only those who feed on the Word, who continue in His Word, His living Word, that truly get to know the true truth, the real truth. And that truth sets them free. Amen.
Amen.
God has got a fresh revelation of Christ every day for you. Amen.
Amen.
The manna had to be gathered in. Just because God gave them the manna every day did not mean that it floated into their mouths and fed them. Thank you, Lord, for your living bread. I can't taste it yet, but I'm sure it's coming. You're going to stay hungry if that's your attitude. God has given us His living bread. But if it stays closed, am I
going
to feed on it? I need to gather the manna. This is how I gather the manna. Reading, reading, reading. Feeding on the Word. Amen. Gathering the Word of God. It is the responsibility of all of us to gather the manna. But there is also a special responsibility on the man of the house to do so. The Scripture says that every man shall gather enough for his tent. It is a responsibility of the man of the house to ensure his family is feeding on the living bread from heaven. To make sure that all that are in his tent receive their daily portion of manna. Amen.
Amen.
Do Bible studies with your family. Teach your children. Amen.
Amen.
The manna had to be processed before it was eaten. The Bible says they would grind it with millstones. Beat it with the mortar. Boil it over the pot. When you get some posho, do you eat it straight away? Or as you get it? No. What do you do to it? You process it. Amen.
Amen.
A superficial reading of the Word will profit you very little. In order to feed on the manna, to receive the revelation of Christ, you can't just go, okay, I'm done. You have to grind down into the Bible with the millstones of diligent study. Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved. Grind into the Word of God. Have it tested in the mortar of affliction. When you're going through a testing time and God gives you a word to stand upon, when you go through that testing with the Word of God, that is the testing of the Word. And the Word is proven when it keeps us in the difficult times. Amen.
Amen.
We need to take the time to meditate in the Word. Psalm 119, verse 99, says, I have more insight than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. How do you meditate on the Word? It's taking one or two verses and just thinking on them in your mind. Meditating and chewing upon them with your mind. Lord, what do you mean by this verse? Show me, Lord, what this means. This is meditating upon the Word. Grinding down into the Word of God. When our friends were kidnapped last year, and they were in the midst of a flood and nobody else around, the feelings of disappointment and depression would try and come upon them. They were going through the fires of affliction. But the Lord gave them a word. Psalm 27, verse 13. I would have despaired unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God gave them the promise that they would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And every day when nothing seemed to happen, they held on to that scripture. They held on to it day after day after day when nothing seemed to be happening. They had to live on a wooden platform, not much bigger than this area here. Three of them lying on a mattress. It was so narrow that when one person had to turn round, everyone else had to turn round at the same time. In the middle of the platform was a big metal sheet where they would cook their food. They would shoot monitor lizards in the wood, in the trees. Cut them up and cook them. The cook had dysentery. It would be very easy to get disease from him. There were between 7 and maybe 17 other men on that same platform of wood with them. All surrounded by water all around. If you needed to go to the toilet, you just had to go over the side of the wooden platform. There was no privacy. And their captors were violent men. They were constantly arguing and swearing and fighting amongst themselves. Always drinking alcohol or on drugs. They would steal mobile phones from people they caught on boats passing by. And they would play this music on these mobile phones with rap music. Full of sexualized content. They said at night time it would get worse. But as they were swearing and fighting amongst themselves, constantly playing this horrible music, they would speak the word of God to each other. And as their captors got louder, so they started speaking the word of God louder. And as they started speaking the word of God loudly, the captors would start to go quiet. And one of them told them, they said, when you speak that word, it's like an angel of God goes overhead of us. You're winning the spiritual battle. But day after day came, and it was still this difficult situation. But they held on to the word. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then 3 weeks later, they woke up and they felt, this is the day. We were either going to be shot or something's going to happen. And all of a sudden silence fell. And then they heard the sound of a worship song coming. For 3 weeks they'd only heard rap music, violent and sexually aggressive.
So
all of a sudden they hear a worship song.
And
the words of that song said, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And it's like time stood still. No one spoke whilst this song was playing. And it finished playing. And everyone went back to normal. But our friends turned to one another. And they said, today we will be set free. God has made a way where there is no way. In a few hours' time, they were on a boat and were free. In 24 hours, they were on a plane back to England. Because the word proves true in the furnace of affliction. And though that word may be beaten by the mortar, they may be tested over the fires of affliction. That's when you find that the word is true. And it has power. It is a living word. Amen.
Amen.
The manna was the perfect nutrition for all of Israel. The Bible says it tasted of the juices of oil and the wafers of honey. It satisfied and filled, and it also tasted sweet to the mouth. The land of Canaan was called the land of milk and honey. When they fed upon the manna which tasted of honey, they were having a foretaste of what was to come. When you read the word of God, and it tastes sweet to your soul, as you receive the revelation of Christ, and you sense that sweetness in your very soul, you are getting a foretaste of the land which is to come. Amen.
Amen.
The promised land. The Psalm 119, verse 103, says, how sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The revelation of Christ in the scriptures is the sweetness that will brighten your eyes and enable you to see spiritually. In Psalm 81, verse 16, God said, I will feed you with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. Have you tasted the honey from the rock yet? That's the manna which God has given for you to feed upon. The manna was called the grain from heaven. It did not come from the earth, it came from heaven. Jesus is the living bread who came down from heaven. When we receive the revelation of Christ from the scriptures, we are receiving something which is divine in origin. As we receive the revelation of Christ, at this point the word becomes the manna. Divine manna to our souls. Have you tasted the living words? The Apostle Peter said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Have you tasted of these words of life yet? Amen. That's the manna. And the manna stopped being given once Israel entered the promised land. Joshua 5 verse 12, the manna ceased the morning after they had eaten some of the produce of the land. Canaan, the promised land, represents the kingdom that Christ will install upon this earth. When Christ returns, he's not coming to take us to heaven. He's coming to establish his kingdom upon this earth. And he will rule and reign for 1,000 years on that kingdom. When we come into that kingdom, if we are worthy to be allowed entry into that kingdom, we will no longer need to feed upon the manna, because we will be joined to him who is the manna. The living bread will be before us, him who is the literal bread of life, the type and shadow of the manna, the word of God, will give way to Christ, who is the living bread, and we will feed on him. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Now we see just a pale reflection as in a mirror. mirror. The mirror is the word of God. We see the reflection of Christ through the mirror of his words. But then we shall see face to face. Amen. The manna was the bread that the Israelites were commanded to eat. They were not supposed to eat anything else. Believers must restrict themselves to the diet of manna. Preachers must preach only the manna. Any other food is unclean and is not to be touched. There's lots of unclean spiritual food in the church today. Half gospels which appeal to the flesh. Gospels where Jesus is not at the center. Signs and wonders is at the center. Blessings and prosperity is at the center. The Bible pictures these as quail. As new meat. The Israelites despised the gift of God, the manna. And they craved new meat instead. So what was the other food that the Israelites ate in the wilderness apart from manna?
So they were thinking of the pumpkin. Matia wali ne diaro, diaro ki kome ngoa magu berka penya ne magu kwa arubana ko.
Quail, yes.
So aloro, aloro.
Did God supply the quail?
Loba mono, wanya aloro borge.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I know,
but did it come from heaven as the manna came from heaven? It originated from the sea, good. What do the seas represent in the Bible? Anyone know? Peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. The peoples of this world. Quail as a food has its roots in the philosophies and wisdom of men. There are many gospels being preached in churches today that are not Christ, the crucified Christ, but they are the wisdom and the philosophies of men. The bling bling gospel is one such gospel. Amen. This is based upon the philosophies and wisdom of men. It is quail. It is not manna. You are not supposed to eat this gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Any gospel that does not have Jesus Christ at the center is not the manna. It is quail. Why did the quail come? It showed the anger of God, but that is not the reason why it came.
Ubino penyoro kiniga palaba ento ini petien long mu yago alur ubino kede.
In Numbers 21.
Ah kenya well tiari watien.
Verse 5.
Kenya bitch.
The Israelites said, "Our soul loathes this miserable food." The quail came because the people despised the manna. When people get bored with the old time gospel, they say, "Pastor, don't you have anything new?" Feed me some new revelation. That pastor down the road, he's got the new revelation. He preaches prosperity and blessings. He prays for people and they shake and fall down on the floor. There's a power in his gospel. He's preaching quail and not manna. People get bored with the old time gospel. I know that old gospel. I know Jesus died for me. Give me something new. Feed me something new, Pastor. I'm bored of the manna. You want something new? God will give you something new. But will it be good for you? No. How did the quail come? It came from the sea, but how did it come from the sea? What brought it in? The wind. Which wind? East wind. What does the east wind represent? The curse and the judgment of God. Remember the plague of locusts in Egypt. They were brought in by the east wind to destroy the countryside of Egypt. The east wind represents the curse and the wrath of God. God's judgment. But the quail was brought by the east wind and another wind as well. What was the other wind? The Bible says it came on the east wind and on the south wind. Combination of the two. The east wind represents God's curse and God's judgment. But the south wind promises something good. The Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 16, says that the south wind blows on the bride's garden. Wafting out fragrances of spices to her beloved. It promises something good. Luke 12 verse 55. Jesus says that the south wind brings clear skies and the sun's heat. But what happens when you have a combination of the south wind and the east wind? When you have a combination of the east wind and the south wind, it promises something good. but it will lead you to disaster and the curse of God. Amen.
Amen.
Can anyone remember anywhere in the Bible where the south wind and the east wind are mentioned together? It's in the book of Acts, just to help you. The south wind and the east wind. Towards the end of the book of Acts. No. The Apostle Paul was to journey to Rome. He was to take a ship bound for Rome. And God had told him to warn the sailors not to go on that journey. Because if they did, it would result in a disaster. But the sailors did not listen to Paul. Because the soft south wind started to blow. And the Bible says that they thought they had what they wanted. So they set off in the ship. Directly into a hurricane force wind. Called the northeast wind. Which destroyed their ship. But when the south wind blew, they thought they had something that they wanted. When the south wind begins to blow, and the quail starts to fall around the camp, people think they have the new revelation of God. It promises something good. Oh, I have the new revelation. Come to this church, they have the new revelation. But they don't realize the east wind is coming. And what they partake of will kill them. The quail promises good. But eventually brings about the curse of God. Amen. The Bible says he rained flesh upon them like the dust. The dust is cursed. When they fed upon that quail, they were receiving the curse into their bodies. And their desire, their cravings, he gave to them. It came according to the lust of their flesh. God commanded them to eat manna. To feed upon Christ, the bread of life. But they effectively said, Christ is not good enough. We want something new. Give me something new, which is according to the lusts of my flesh. That's what the prosperity gospel is. It's quail. It's the new revelation that appeals to men's flesh. It is a gospel of greed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ should be at the center of our preaching. If signs and wonders is at the center of our preaching, we are feeding people quail. We are not feeding people manna. There are many ministers of quail in the pulpits today. A lot of them come from the US and from the UK and Nigeria. There's a lot of quail coming out of Nigeria, and it is infecting many churches in Uganda. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And what we preach should be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is the manna we are supposed to feed upon. But the thing is, quail never will satisfy. God made sure it will be loathsome to them. He said, if you turn your back on my Son Jesus Christ, you hate Jesus and the manna that you're supposed to feed upon. You want the new revelation. I'll give you quail. But not for one day. Not for 2 days. Not for 5 days. But for a whole month. Until you are sick of it. Till it comes out of your nostrils. Because God is not mocked. And if you say you want, if you want to rebel against Him, He will let you rebel. But He will make you sick in your rebellion. And He will judge you because of your rebellion. The process starts like this. Someone is in the church for a number of years. And they get used to hearing about the gospel of Christ. And they start to get bored with the message. And they think, why doesn't my pastor preach anything new? And then they maybe come across some preacher on the TV. Or hear about some pastor down the road. Miracles happen in his church. He preaches with fire. People get blessed in his church. They discover some quail. They start to feed on the quail. All of a sudden they're not in church anymore. Because they've gone to the church of quail down the road. And they start feeding upon that quail. And they love the quail.
Ooh,
give me more quail. Start telling their friends, oh, don't go to that church anymore. Come here. This pastor preaches real good. He's got the new revelation. That pastor doesn't know anything. We've got the new revelation. It's all about my pride and how good I feel about myself. And they devour the quail. They're in that church of quail every time the door is opened. They're stuffing their mouths with the quail. But then there comes a period of time. And they start to realize that the preacher is just preaching empty words. Everybody who falls down is the same people who fall down every week. It's the same message every week.
No,
Once the hype and the emotionalism wears off, you suddenly realize there is nothing to the message. It's just worldly techniques they've borrowed from the world. And they realize, however loudly the pastor preaches, it's just empty words. Amen.
Amen.
There's a lot of empty words in pulpits today. Some people think that the louder I shout, the more the anointing I have on my life. But it's empty words. And they become disillusioned with the quail. Because God says He will make sure it will not satisfy you. And they get dissatisfied with the quail. They say, the pastor's just after my money. They get offended. They get bitter against the pastor and other people. They leave the church. And they are lost to the faith. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 to 12, the Apostle Paul says, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Because they did not love the manna which God gave them. For this reason, God is sending upon them a deluding influence. God sends the quail because they despised His manna. Amen.
Amen.
So that they will believe that which is false. In order that all may be judged. Who did not believe the truth, the manna. But took pleasure in wickedness, the quail. For this reason. If you despise the manna. You say, I wish I could go back to Egypt and feed on the food there. I'm fed up hearing about Jesus and the cross and the crucified life. Give me something new. If you say that, God will give you something new. But it will be a strong delusion. Quail as a meat was strong. Meat. It is different to chicken. It is much stronger and richer as a meat. If you despise the manna, God will give you a strong delusion. You will be convinced that the new revelation is the word of God. When these people go after these false gospels, you try and talk to them and say, this is a false gospel. It's like they have their fingers in their ears. Because they cannot hear what you're saying. Because God has given them over to a strong delusion. If you hate His manna, you despise His manna, He will give you strong delusion. That's a dangerous place. Because the east wind is coming. Eating quail brought about the judgment of God. A very severe plague. This is the end result of anyone who chooses quail over manna. These things were written for our instruction. Amen.
Amen.
When did the quail come? Was it the evening time or the morning? Evening.
No, alor bin yo tiano.
Exodus 16:12. I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Why did the quail come in the evening? In John 9:4, Jesus said, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Nighttime comes when no man can work. In a sense, the day began when Jesus, the light of the world, was born. In the early days of the church age, the early church received much of the manna. They received the word and they wrote it down. It became our living bread here, the word of God. And people have fed upon that living word throughout history. That it came in the morning. But Jesus said, night time is coming when no man can work. What is he talking about? He is talking about the great tribulation at the end of the age. Just prior to the return of Christ, when spiritual night time will fall across this earth, and it will become the time of Jacob's distress and struggle, the time when the Antichrist will make war against the saints of God. Many will hate you because of your faith. Brother will betray brother to death, and even children their parents, because of the increase in wickedness. The love of most will grow cold. There will be a great falling away in the last days, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. Nighttime is coming when no man can work. Jacob wrestled with the angel during the night. The angels were attacked in Sodom in the night. Lot was defiled by his daughters in the night. The Levite's concubine was abused throughout the night. In the Song of Songs, chapter 5, the bridegroom comes in the night. In the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, comes at the midnight hour. Jesus said that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Night time is those 3.5 years just before Christ returns, when all things will be given over to the beast, to the Antichrist. And there will be much distress upon this world. But just prior to the night is the evening time, where the daytime merges with the night. We call this the twilight, the evening time. Evening is when nighttime is just around the corner. It is representative of the last days before Christ returns. I believe believe we are living in that time right now? The signs of the age are all around us. I believe we are in the last of the last days. We are in the evening period of time. Nighttime is just around the corner. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 9, it talks about the man who left his home. The simple man who met the harlot. And she tried to deceive him. Said, "My master has gone away and has gone on a long journey." Jesus was the master who went away on a long journey. My master has gone and taken a lot of money. He won't be back for a long time. I have paid my vows. I've done my religious duties. I've come looking for you and I have found you. And she enticed him with her words. When did she come? In the evening time. When the light starts merging with the darkness. And the south wind starts to blow.
And
this man thinks, this woman wants me. And he follows after her. Not knowing that it will cost him his life. For her house leads down to Sheol. So it is with all who eat the quail. I believe we are in the twilight age of the church.
And
this is when the quail is going to come in large numbers. There has always been false teaching in the church. But the Bible indicates there will be an explosion of false teaching in the last days. I tell you, we are living in those days now. Much of the church in the US and in the West has been given over to quail. Jesus is no longer the center of our preaching. But other gospels have become center stage. And the quail is falling in large numbers around the camp. In Matthew 24, Jesus spoke about the last days. And the first thing he said to look out for was, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name saying I am the Christ and will deceive many. Many false prophets will arise and deceive many. The Christian TV on the television is filled with people who preach quail. It is filled with false prophets. Wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. I refuse to watch most of what is on the TV today. Because most of it is just begging for people's money. Teaching a gospel of quail. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. The Apostle Paul says, the time will come, the evening will come, when they will not endure sound doctrine any longer. They will despise the manna. But wanting to have their ears tickled, They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. They will despise the manna and will desire quail instead. And they will gather many quail teachers around themselves. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. They will turn away from the manna and turn aside to feeding on quail. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the gentle south wind and the east winds are blowing. The quail is falling all around the camp of God's people. It's piling up as far as you can see. What are you going to eat? Are you going to eat any quail? Or are you going to be content with the manna? The true gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Make sure we keep to the manna. Watch out for the quail. You may think it promises good, but it will be the curse of God to you if you eat it. In John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus said, "Do not work for the food which perishes. Don't work for quail, but work for the food which endures to eternal life." That's the manna. Work for that manna. Gather it in. Feed upon the manna. Feed upon the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on Him the Father God has set His seal. What food are you working for today? What food are you giving to your people? Are you preaching Christ crucified? Or are you tempted to preach another gospel? Many preachers today are tempted to preach another gospel because they lose people to the quail churches and think the only way I'm going to keep my people is preaching a prosperity gospel. Maybe I should start feeding them a bit of quail as well as the manna. Don't be a minister of quail. Feed on the manna, the food which endures to eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray.